superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You have 7 rings. Well, 8 now that Giselle gave hers back.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. What did you think of the Brady roast?
Nikki Glaser's been on my radar for a while. She's the one you don't want to see at your roast.
Earlier on the show, SiriusXM NBA radio host Frank Isola. Coming up from the new HBO comedy special, Someday You'll Die. Comedian Nikki Glaser from FX's The Veil, actor Josh Charles. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 2, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and this hour is going to be, as the kids say, lit. I just had a very nice chat in our green room with Nikki Glaser coming out here after crushing the roast. Did you see, and by the way, I should mention, it's not just talking about the roast. Nikki Glaser's Someday You'll Die, which is a very inspiring title.
Kyle Shanahan is opening for her.
Debut. By the way, that's a good one. Yeah, and he was at the roast.
I know.
Did Sarah write that for you?
Kyle Shanahan is good.
He didn't come up with that, Rich.
Kyle Shanahan basically saying, who's going to be your starter? I don't know. Like, you know,
we could all be dead.
We could all be dead by Sunday. I'm not telling you. Is that what that was
about? That's pretty much what it was, yeah.
At any rate, Nikki Glaser, Someday You'll Die, debuts on HBO and Max tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. She's at the Hollywood Palladium tomorrow night as part of the Netflix Is a Joke Festival. Which is just
dynamite.
Been fantastic. And speaking of which, let's start our hour this way as well.
I think we should.
Because you and I last night with our respective much better halves.
Agreed.
You with Sarah Tiano, who was in the writer's room for the Brady roast.
Yep.
And Susie was there with me because we love Jeff Ross. And he performed his one-man performance, Take a Banana for the Ride, last night. A one-man show, and he did it at the Hollywood Cemetery.
Yep, Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Okay, where, by the way, many luminaries from our world are interred, including Mel Blanc.
I parked right in front of his headstone,
and his headstone does in fact read the voice of Bugs Bunny and so many characters of Looney Tunes. His headstone does in fact read, That's all, folks. I swear to God, it does. You saw it.
Right? I saw it parked right in front of it.
That's all, folks.
I mean, it's like a roast. Yeah. That's all, folks. It
He's
says
got a
on
great
his headstone.
Spot right next to the street. It's really perfect.
It's right there.
Yeah, it's right there.
I'm sure the exhaust fumes of your car got all over Mel Blanc's headstone. How dare you?
No doubt.
It is a one-man show that is just like Jeffrey Ross in real life. Again, you know, he's the roast master general, roast Jay Simpson, or otherwise, as he said when he was on the show Monday, the real killer, or the juice, J-E-W-C-E. Those were his other options to put on his number 32 Bills jersey that he came out in as he introduced himself, or he got introduced at the Brady roast. But he is just a sweetheart of a human with a huge heart, and this is his life story. And where he talks about his upbringing in New Jersey and his parents, and his parents died while he was young in life, both of them just a few years separate.
Yeah.
And then this ring on his hand that I never asked him about. It's like a wing nut or something like that?
It's a bolt from a German U-boat.
That
his grandfather's in the Navy, worked in the shipyards, and when they captured one of these boats in World War II, they were taking it apart to kind of learn the German technology, and his grandfather took one of the bolts as kind of a weird memento and kind of shaved it down into a ring and always wore it. And right before he passed away, he gave it to Jeff.
And Jeff lived with his grandfather after his parents died, and he tells these stories and then, of course, winds up roasting them and roasts himself. And so you never know when he's being so poignant about his life and then switches straight up with the most inappropriate roast-like joke after it.
The one about the deer.
Right.
He knew it was his mom.
Right. And how he has German shepherds. Funny. He rescued German shepherds. Yep. And, you know, and he talked about how he has a Nazi dog and how if somebody breaks into the house, the dog will, in fact, show the intruder the location of the Jewish person in the house. Wow. It's just, it's wild.
I mean, you're literally crying 1 second and laughing the next. At the most inappropriate joke.
And then crying again.
Yeah.
Because he's telling the most poignant stories about the most important people in his family life. And it's called Take a Banana for the Ride because his grandfather always said, you know, wherever you're going, you never know. You might get lost. You might need something to eat.
Yeah, your blood sugar's a little low.
You know, yeah. Take a banana for the ride. It's beautiful. Yeah, he travels around with this one-man show, and if you have an opportunity to see it, you should.
Absolutely.
Yeah, last time he was in the studio, he told us a little bit about that's what was going to happen with his show.
He did, right. Yeah, when he was with Susie, right?
Yeah,
right.
So.
And again, because I think Kevin Hart did mention during the roast.
Yeah.
On Sunday night that he's got this one-man show and he's going to do it in the Hollywood Cemetery. And people are like, isn't that funny? That's a part of the roast. They said, no, that's really happening. Yeah. And then last night we went there and we really did that.
We really did that, yeah. It was packed. It was great.
Yeah, there it is. Jeff Ross, Take a Banana for the Ride. Yeah, peeling back the thick skin of America's Roastmaster. It is beautiful.
Yeah, he calls humor his superpower. And, you know, TJ, like any superhero movie, there's our origin stories.
Yeah.
And this was Jeff's origin story into comedy. And it was so well done. It was great.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
So, again, that was last night. And then we're just reliving the roast here. And we'll do that with Mickey Glazer. You know, Edelman said when he made an appearance yesterday, I believe it was on Colin's show. He was in studio. That things were a little dicey with... Or at least they felt it was going to be dicey between Belichick and Kraft. And then I heard, was this maybe even last night or whatever, I don't know if I'm telling any tales out of school, that Belichick really looked like he didn't want to do a shot with Kraft, not because he didn't want to do a shot with Kraft, is he's not a tequila guy?
Oh.
Is that what I heard last night?
Yeah, that
he's more of a, like, he's like, I guess he and I are the same.
You don't like tequila either, right?
Tequila's a night ender for me, man.
That's what you said. I've heard that.
Yeah. You can see he gave away.
Like he's
he
not.
Was like not. Yeah, not.
Right. And
guy.
People thought like he was just. Not, I don't want to toast with Bob Kraft.
Right.
He just. But he just. Apparently, he's more like a red wine guy, like yours truly.
Yeah. Like kind of a wine and beer guy, not so much.
Yeah.
Hard stuff.
Again, I'm probably revealing a little too much about myself.
Yeah.
Peeling back that layer.
Yeah, tequila's rough, man.
But that's what I heard.
Tequila will end the night.
Plus, he had one already, didn't he?
He did one like a couple minutes before with Gronk.
Yeah, which and that's when they spiked the glass.
Gronk, you know,
and he must be like, again, I got to go back to tequila again.
Right.
Still drunk.
So the modern day
Maybe
Lombardi.
That's why he was laughing so much at the jokes after because he had a few shots.
Right. He's not the modern day Don Julio.
Hey.
I heard that, and I also heard as well that they're. We're no guardrails about don't make any massage jokes about Bob Kraft, which is why Jeff Ross made one.
Right.
And like, you know, I heard that as well.
And Tom and Jeff are partners. So you think if Tom was actually.
Right. Yeah, Tom Brady is owning this roast now.
Yeah. Every roast going forward is
production.
Co-owned and co-produced by Tom Brady and Jeff Ross.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, two goats in their own respective.
Good business deal.
Right.
I like it.
Right. With Tom Brady and Jew Bledsoe. Which is what Brady called Jeffrey Ross on Sunday night. Again, telling roast jokes days after the roast.
Almost without being now.
It's just now it doesn't sound great. But on Sunday night, it's like my sides are splitting.
Did you find it interesting, some of the people who thought the roast had gone too far, or like I found it was maybe a younger generation of people who were like, man, some of these jokes were just straight up mean. And
no,
I'm like,
it's just,
well, that's kind of what a roast is.
It's what a roast is. Yeah. And they used to be when we grew up, you know, there were the Dean Martin roasts.
Yep.
Now they weren't nearly as, they're not nasty, the Dean Martin roasts, because they were for broadcast, but the real Friars Club roasts back in the day were awful. In terms of the language, awful. Like some people that you used to grow up with. I've been told by many, you know, comedians and Friars Club members that Milton Berle was the worst of the worst.
I've heard some Milton Berle stuff.
Yeah, he was and you know, like Uncle Milty, yeah. which is what I grew up watching him, you know, on like Johnny Carson. At any rate, you know,
Uncle Milty would be for the kids. No.
And then the Comedy Central roasts used to happen all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Jeff said this was the first roast in a couple of years.
It's been a while. I think the Alec Baldwin was the last one, like 5 years ago.
So, meanwhile, everybody's. Do you know where Brady is right now?
I saw that he's in Italy, right?
Tom Brady is living his best life. He is, in fact, in Venice.
Well, he's been doing that since 2000.
You know where I saw that? I saw that on Instagram.
Yep.
Where it's time for us to, before we bring in Nikki Glaser,
okay, let's
to check on our homework from yesterday's show.
Yep.
Jay, you aren't here.
Right.
But the man who normally sits in that chair, we finally brought to the Rich Eisen show viewership and listenership. We finally brought out what we have been talking about behind his back.
Well, actually, Rich, one day when Siciliano was in the chair, we danced around the subject.
No,
we didn't full on go in like we did yesterday.
I hit the bullseye.
We just
which is, again,
danced around it.
Single one of his posts on Instagram, no matter what it is, whether it's him like selfieing himself, driving or whatever it is, no matter what it is, it's always between 400 and 500 likes.
Yeah, there's a nice perfect range.
As a matter of fact, Hoskins, you have the one that I sent you from this very morning, a perfect example. Did you see his latest post today?
No, it's a shot
of his friend, I think Sean, who I've never heard of before, and it's a bad photograph. It's half of his friend's face showing off his friend's vinyl collection.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a box of records.
No, this was 4 days ago.
436 likes.
Right. Why would this get any likes?
It's a terrible photograph. It's a shot of a guy's garage. You can't even tell what they are. Okay, and another example of just like how weird it is, again, I don't toot my own horn here, but I kind of feel like with my followership being like 5x of his, and a shot of me sitting at this desk with the Larry O'Brien trophy on it should get more than his Schmecky friend Sean, with all due respect, and his Schmecky boxes of Schmecky albums. That's all I get. That's all. And by the way, you can see the dots at the bottom. There were two. It was like a carousel and two shots of Kilborn.
I feel your pain on that one, Rich.
I mean, what?
I only get likes if I post a picture of me with a celebrity. Other than that, 25, 26.
No, I mean, are Mike's fans more engaged with him and his friend Sean and their boxes of albums you can't even see?
Fans.
I mean, so we basically say, you're buying this stuff, man. You're buying this stuff.
Yeah.
Because again, his Instagram posts are like the Price is Right rangefinder game. Like right. It goes up. It's like this range of 100, and you hit the button, and normally the likes will just show up in between that range.
I'm telling you, Mike literally went from like 2,300 followers, right? I used to like, I don't know why I looked.
Now he's got 50?
The next day he was up to like 45,000. Yeah. And I'm like,
it happened. Right. And he was like, oh, I had some reels go viral.
In case you're wondering, we threw it out. And he also said he has a person in New York. Yeah. He's got a social media person, a guy in New York.
You have multiple people in India.
In New York.
Who were liking your
So post. We decided on our live air, TJ and I got up and got behind Chris and Mike, and Mike took a selfie, and we posted it all on our respective Instagram accounts and the Rich Eisen Show account. And in terms of followership, most followers, it goes me, show, Mike, then you. TJ?
No, I think I'm at the bottom.
And then you, Chris.
Yeah, I've got about 2,800.
Because you don't have any friends, and TJ knows everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. They know me in these streets.
They certainly do. My God, it's every day. So we decided to post it on all five of our accounts, and now it's time to reveal the results.
Numbers. Let's go.
Which one are we going first? TJ. TJ first. The photograph on TJ's Instagram account is 214.
Hey.
All right. I like somebody, Adam Jant 72, just said D's nuts was his. Another one, I'm not the bot you're looking for, was another response.
Shout out to the commenters. They really brought it on this post.
But next up, what do we have next
up? 223 on that picture.
Okay, good. That's the update. Chris Brockman has how many likes on his Instagram account?
With Brock CD guy.
217. All right. Somebody said put this guy on a duck boat with Scalabrine.
I'll take that.
Okay.
Good comment. You're up to 237.
Hey, all right. Very good. These are up to date.
A little up to date.
We always want to be current. What do we have next? Who's next? We got me. Let's do me. All right. My my number is 530.
Okay.
Rich, you're up to 570.
I like that. The answer saying I like Del Tufo's picture better. That's a good one. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
No, which eyes did I?
Notorious MDT, Brock Steady, Jiggy, and Mr. Accessible. That's me.
That's you.
Nice. Thank you. That's what Jerry referred to me.
Funny.
On the old weekend update, apparently, funny. That he likes because I'm accessible. Our show account is not ready. Okay. So which one do you want to do here? Del Tufo, Mike Del Tufo.
Here we go.
This is the reveal anyway. Who cares what the show account is? It's just definitely can't be enough.
667.
not a bot. I like the one at the bottom. Red Wing Nut Photo. Like number 519. That's a lot of Russian dressing. Smitchapalooza. Smitch is in on it. He liked it.
Why would Smitch like it on
Del Tufo's? Oh, he liked on everybody. Oh, he raised all boats.
Rich, I'm going to be honest. Somebody left a message saying there was one person who didn't like the pictures on all of her pages, and it was you.
Is that right?
We liked all the pictures.
I was too busy.
I got things to do.
You were confused what was happening.
I saw you guys all post them, but I'm like, what is going on over there?
Yeah.
Here's the weird thing. The show Instagram page only has 165
What's
likes.
Up with this?
I don't understand that. That makes no sense to me.
Okay.
Well, Two Phones is almost at 700.
Oh, my God.
Is it because he was front and center in the picture?
He is totally fugazi. All right, let's take a break here. Well, it's just, you know what? It's not an us problem. It's him.
It's a him problem. I mean, he's not even here.
Look, maybe we'll get a like for a follow from Nikki, and then it'll help boost our engagement.
There you go, TJ. Speak it into existence.
Well done.
You know what I mean?
Nikki Glaser is here.
Well, she's
Tom Brady is in Venice.
That's true.
Tom Brady is in Venice.
Living his best life.
Unbelievable. Living his best life. Everybody's like wondering, where could he possibly be hiding right now?
And we were in the cemetery last night.
Yeah, we were in a cemetery.
We were in a cemetery.
And he's at the Grand Canal right now. And the lady who was looking for a lottery ticket on Sunday night is in our green room. Nikki Glaser about to come out here next on the Rich Eisen Show.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Say hello to the one who destroyed the Kia Forum on Sunday night in the Brady Roast, and a new comedy special on HBO and Max debuts tomorrow night. Nikki Glaser, Someday You'll Die. Good to see you, Nikki Glaser.
Good to see you. It's so great to be here. I'm so great.
What way is it?
I just think about, you know, I'm going to be 40 in 3 weeks, and it's just this age where I'm supposed to kind of think about, you know, it's do or die right now if I'm going to have kids. I think it's pretty much die at this point. But, And I think about the struggle, and I talk about to my male comic friends about career versus family, because you kind of have to choose sometimes and juggle that. And my male comic friends who are like, I think I want to have kids, I want to be a dad. I'm just like, like I would want to be a dad too. Like it's you don't have to be as ever present. And let's just, you know, and also the physical aspect of it is just really just, I know it's over after 9 months, but it's not really. It's over after, you know, you stop breastfeeding, I guess. But like,
no,
that's really,
ends.
it's torturous. And I just feel like I would want to do it the best because I don't do things half-assedly.
By the way, I noticed that. I've noticed that, you know, about you, Nikki Glaser.
And I don't think I'd be a good, I don't think I'd do it the best. I don't think I have the energy for it, but I think I could be a really great dad, though.
So, okay. So it'll basically just have to be half present? Is that what you're saying?
You know, it's just less, you just, I'm not mad about it. I just want to make sure that dads aren't offended, that this is just the way it is. It's just our gender roles that we fall into. Mm-hmm. And there are some dads that are like, do just as much as moms because their wives are dead or something. But it's usually, it doesn't happen otherwise. It just isn't that way, you know? And so I would like to be a dad. There's a part of me that's like, oh, if I was like in a lesbian relationship, I think I could probably be a mom in that way because I could have a more maternal figure. But I just don't think I'm cut out for motherhood once I kind of think of, I've given a lot of thought and I think I'm ready to just... Yeah.
Just tap out of it.
I could adopt, you know, like the adoption thing is interesting to me because if my kid like fails in some way, I won't take it personally. I'll just be like, this is their birth mother is stupid, I guess. You know, like it's not my genetics.
You have plausible deniability.
Yeah, and understood. I think it's better for the kid. You know, like I think so much of our trauma comes from the fact that our parents are so like, you're me. Be smart. Be successful because you are an extension of me. So if your kid is just dumb or not good at stuff, you're just like, it's their parents' fault. It's not, that's, and you just are more lax about it.
I think Gronk's up for adoption.
Actually,
I think you might be able to put in some papers for Gronk.
That was great.
Speaking of amazing.
Oh my God.
What, like, totally fit the role that we carved out for him and then went up and delivered in his own way while also still playing into that character that we had built up, which is essentially him. I think we nailed it. But really, he did play into it. And his moments of, God, I just watched his set again yesterday because, you know, I'm watching it from the side. So I didn't get the full show that everyone else got. So I went back and watched, I don't watch my own stuff, but I went back and watched everyone else. And it was just, his was so, I couldn't get over how adorable he was when he would say a joke that he wrote and goes, and I wrote that one. Like that pride. And I know that pride. Of like, but no, but everyone needs to know I wrote that one. Like, because these guys aren't writing their own jokes mainly.
Right.
But he should have pride in that because he wrote a couple, as he told us, great jokes.
Well, he did speak as if he had just made a boom boom in the toilet. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, he's just so proud of what he's made.
Exactly.
You know, like, look at me.
I
can write. I can talk and write. You
it
know?
Was, there was something very childlike about it. That exactly when I'm saying adorable, it reminds me of a kid.
And the energy in that building, you and I were talking about it in the green room a little bit. And the first moment, though, I mean, the jokes were landing, obviously. Kevin Hart crushed it. He did it what every roast master has to do, the host, which is clear the space for folks like yourself to just be as wild as you want to be, because he's kind of set the tone. He's cleared the space. He's the first one who made a divorce joke, a jiu-jitsu coach joke, all of that stuff.
So good.
So you could backfill and do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And obviously, Jeff Ross coming out as roast Jay Simpson, and then Drew Bledsoe doing his thing was great, too.
It was perfect.
But the first joke that brought down the complete house was you doing the Gronk joke about crypto.
Yes.
You know, and that was the one where everybody in the lower bowl got it. And then the upper bowl just, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. The upper bowl, you just heard the laughter from up there. It was like a starburst where it took a light year to hit the stage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that was, did you feel that when you
I
were
did.
Okay.
You know, I will say that there was no point that I was going to let up and go, oh, I've got it. You know, like it's over. It was like the whole thing is a performance that you have to stay present and focused for. And not until I say good night, am I really done and can say I did a good job. So, but there were moments within the set that I go, okay, because I'd run it up so many times, probably 40 times. And that set exactly, I'd never run because we're making changes always. So even to the last minute, I'm adding things like right before as I'm getting mic'd, I'm still typing in new transition lines. And so, but that was the first time I delivered it at that, and it had gone that well. And I had run it all over town 5 times a night for a week and a half at least. And then even before that, I was messing around with it. But it was the first time it had been that perfect. And then when that joke, there's moments where I didn't expect the laughter to keep going or to have those, you know, Kevin getting up and running around. And so it messed up my timing a little bit, but didn't. I was just, it made me more present because I saw one clip of myself that I watched, and I don't like to watch myself, but yeah. When I said the thing about The Rock and Kevin and just the filthy,
and
like
weight.
Literally like saying so that good. There was 5 pounds of seminal fluid within Kevin Hart's body. I mean, it's a disgusting joke. And I knew that joke was a crusher because it was always the one when I was in the clubs that would like, it would open up the set. You know, you got to build up to it and that would crack it open.
So you were working the material in clubs leading up?
Yeah. And it's an interesting process because, and I've done it before, I've done 3 roasts prior to this. So I kind of had a system where you just go, hey guys, I'm doing the roast of Tom Brady. They applaud. I go, can I try some roast jokes? They kind of get invested. Like sure. You guys are going to be my focus group for this. And they're, oh yeah. Okay. Here's who's going to be there. It's going to be, you know, Kevin Hart is hosting. It's Rob Gronkowski. It's Randy Moss. It's Drew Bledsoe. It's Julian Edelman. Those are football players, girls. I didn't know either. A laugh on that. You know, you kind of get a little couple F's setting it up.
Sure.
And you go, and here's the Drew Bledsoe backstory. So you understand the jokes about him. He was injured. That's why we even know Tom Brady.
So you had to give him the backstory.
You had to give him, I literally had to be like, okay, I had some jokes about Sam J that didn't make it, but I'm like, Sam J is a lesbian black woman with short hair. That's all you need to know about her for this joke. She has there's multitudes more to know about her. She's hilarious. She's so talented and kind and incredible. But for that joke to hit, you just need to know that. Like it was setting the stage, and then you go in. Next time I'm going to print up pictures so I don't have to do any of that.
That's right.
And so if there are jokes based on looks, just pictures, because you really can't get a feel for it because most people don't know who Drew Bledsoe is.
Yeah.
You know, and
when
then
you're doing a set on a night, you know,
at the Laugh Factory at 11 p.m. on a Friday night. It's all like, no one would know. And so it was that was the process. And then so I knew that Kevin Hart joke would hit because it was always hitting and everyone's familiar with Kevin Hart and The Rock and their relationship. But I didn't expect, like, his reaction was just so like warm. And like, I knew he had good reactions because I went to the Mark Twain Prize for him like a month or two ago that it's coming out on Saturday on Netflix. It's so funny. But I saw how he interacted with people kind of roasting him at that. And I was like, oh, he's a giver. Like, he's not going to be like, he's not even just going to go like Tom Brady, like. Like animatronic. He had 2 settings, like smile and smile with a nod. Like he was like, laugh one or laugh two.
Which one was him screaming inside the most?
Oh man, the whole thing, man. Dude, his veneers are gonna need a touch up because he was grinding them so hard. They are gonna have some fissures going because I don't know what you thought about it, but it felt to me, I could only see the side view of him. It felt to me that He was into it, and he felt like he was prepared, and he was, I don't know that he knew it was going to go that hard,
well,
though.
Well, I saw him before. My wife and I saw him before.
Yeah.
As he was walking around underneath the forum, and I've been fortunate enough to be around this guy on game days and things like that. I've never seen him looking like this. He
no
was
way.
1,000,000% deep down wondering, what have I done? What am I about to do? He's just like, I don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart's set and Jeff's set and then Bledsoe's set. And then I think you were right after Bledsoe or you after Bledsoe. Okay.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's where he was really in the soup.
Yes.
I think that one first hour, he's just wondering, what have I done? And then he got through that.
And then
as he got closer to his own set, I think he kind of chilled out
killed
a little
it.
Bit.
I mean, there's no question. And you know, if he would have gone, if the timing of the show would have been what it should have been, which is a 2-hour show, and it ran 3 hours, people don't have the stamina for 3 hours. So the fact that he got the response he got and killed as hard as he did at the end, at a 3-hour show where it's just nonstop laughs, people get tired. If he would have gone at 2 hours, we would have be having a different. He would have had like the set of the night. Like, it's like, it depends on where you go in the lineup. But I thought he killed it. And I really think, the whole time I was writing these jokes and preparing, I was just thinking, thank God for this guy taking this chance. Maybe it's foolish of him. Maybe he's going to regret it, but it is extremely brave. He doesn't need to do this. He's on top of the world. Like, I thought it was really cool that whether or not he is stepping away from it, disappointed that he did it, I think he should really be praised for putting himself in the line of fire like that, because that is, people can make fun of him all day, and most people would never do that. You talk to people and you go, would you do a roast? They go, no, never. Like, there are people that were booked on the roast and then got scared and dropped out. Like, I was writing jokes for people, a lot of people, that, like, I had to just dump my jokes because they got too scared last minute and pulled out.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For this very roast?
Yeah, Tyson, I think, was supposed to be there. He's done a roast before. And there were some other comedians that I thought, oh, this guy knows how to handle. Like, it's not about doing the jokes. It was about taking the jokes. And I think a lot of comedians and celebrities are too precious about themselves to do that. And it does hurt a lot. So I think that people are too scared to do it.
That's why I thought it was great that Belichick stayed on the dais.
So cool of him, because the other guys left, right. Ben Affleck left right away.
See, Peyton Manning turned around and left. True. They got it.
Because you can't make jokes about them really if they're not there. They're not going to land the same way.
No, of course
and they
not.
Knew that. And the fact that Belichick stayed out and had his whistle. Like, I mean, there were random things happening that were not planned for. Gronk doing a Gronk smash.
That wasn't planned?
Yeah, because we would have all had a protective eyewear. He's so lucky.
It was so dangerous.
Insane. I think he was like, I think these guys were drinking a little
caught
bit too much to ease their nerves. And then he had finished it, right? And it went well. And you just want to celebrate, you know? Like, it's just, I saw where it came from, but I was like, oh, he's so lucky that didn't go in someone's eye. That could have been really bad. But
the most dangerous Gallagher of all time. You had a paper bag, and a visor. That's why, honestly.
Like, so, SWAT gear.
Man, he spiked a shot glass.
That was ridiculous.
Holy cow.
There was a huge, like, imprint on the floor of the glass.
Yeah. And he even screamed something about, like, sue me, Netflix. Like, there was some moment. I don't think it got on the tape, but I remember being like, they might, dude. Like, that was really irresponsible. But that he was just caught up in the moment. I think that was what was so fun about it, was that people, they just went so hard, and then they got, like, adrenaline from going hard. And I'm saying these things to my coach. Like, that was a big moment for them. I didn't realize it. I don't really, I mean, now I understand so much more that relationship that was going on. But
hell yeah.
That was intense.
Edelman, at one point in the middle of delivering a joke to Belichick, said, I've been waiting for years for this.
Oh,
literally said those words out loud.
Yes.
It's like Sigmund Freud. It's like the roast of Freud right here.
Yes.
I mean, holy crap.
It really was. And Gronk being like, what, are you going to make me go, should I go run a hill? You know, like, and that kind of thing. And then when Belichick blew the whistle and he goes, so you disagree with that one? Okay, well, actually, I'm going to read it again. And he, like, that was such a good moment. That was so funny. And Belichick was smiling and having fun with it. Like, I just thought it was the tone was perfect. And it was, but there were things happening that really were, because it was a live thing and because tensions were high.
Hell,
it was not, this was not something that just went by the book, by the script. Like, it was a live TV event.
That's awesome.
It was cool.
Nikki Glaser here on the Rich Eisen Show. So I am mandated to ask you, what is the moment like with your boyfriend when you see him after you mentioned you would shoot him in the face for getting a lottery ticket to...
Tom Brady.
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah, just to the chance of... We don't even know what kind of lottery this is, how many people are... just that joke to me was so funny. He was actually there. My boyfriend, we were at this bruncheon at Ted Sarandos's house.
Nice.
Of Netflix, the president of Netflix. We were at his house the day before the roast, and all these comedians are there, hundreds of comedians, and Jimmy Carr is there, who is one of the best joke writers going. He's done roast before.
Yes,
he's written for people on roast.
Didn't you say a joke at the Rob Lowe roast about what Jimmy A. Carr is?
Yeah, Ralph Macchio was on the dais as well, and I said, Jimmy A. Carr is what Ralph Macchio is going to have to do tonight to find a place to sleep. That was one of my favorite jokes I've ever written. But Jimmy is one of the best, and I went up to him, and I had sent him my set to be like, hey, will you give this a once over, and any punch-up you have or any suggestions? Because he just is devastated. He doesn't pull any punches. And he told me some other things to say that I said, I will never say that. He really was like, you got to do the, I can't even say what it was. It was so horrible what he told me to say. But this I had a bunch of jokes about wanting to bang Tom Brady and kind of throwing myself at him. And he goes, what if you, had a moment where you almost seem like you're going to propose to your boyfriend, like a really sincere moment? and then you say, I would shoot you in the face, you know, and he presented it first and I was like, oh, that's a nice idea. But like, oh, that's like the, that's exactly what I would want to do, but I can't do that. And my boyfriend's sitting there and I go, I can't. And he goes, you should do it. And I go, really? Like my boyfriend was like, I go, you wouldn't care. And I was like, really? And he was like, no, it's a joke. And I go, yeah, it's a joke. Yeah. this is all fantasy joke. Yeah. But he was so encouraging and getting his permission. Cause he's awesome in that way that he lets me talk about him and our relationship and anything. He says, as long as it's funny, you can say whatever you want. Now I get into some rough territory if I talk about him and it's not funny. And it's just like a story where I'm complaining and stuff. But if I make it funny, I can say whatever I want.
So as long as the comedy is good,
yes.
you're green lit.
Yeah. He really cares about my career and like,
that's great.
And having me be successful and being myself. And he's just like, as long as it's because if there, the thing is, if there is a, if it's for comedy, you could always have plausible deniability.
Yes, because like, I think a lot of people would shoot him in the face to get a lottery ticket with you, Nikki.
Yes.
Is he aware of that?
I think he is. He knows what he has. He's really, and that's clearly. why he's so cool, I think. He's like, not a lot of guys would be that cool, and that's one part of him that I'm like, I got lucky finding a guy who's that secure to handle all that. I mean, I've talked about everything about him.
Because that line crushed, and that was the big finish.
So fun. It was so fun to deliver. It was so scary to deliver because I just, you know, Jimmy and I had just written it the day before, so me kind of working it out that night. And, you know, Tom isn't there when I'm running it at the Comedy Store in the belly room. And so when I'm doing the joke about, I would shoot you, my boyfriend's not even there, in the face to even a lottery ticket to this, and then I'm pointing at nothing. Like, it works, but it's like, if it doesn't work, I'm like, I should still do it because it will work if he's there, but you don't know. It's like, it's nothing in my comedy career has ever been this like level of difficulty of like the unknowns. I'm very someone who like, I like to know what I'm getting into. Uh-huh. And this is, that's why not many people do it. I'm very lucky that I'm someone who's not scared to do it because it's a great spot to be in.
You're outstanding at
thank
it.
Thank you.
And of course, no, Tom Brady is not in the belly of, what did you say, in the belly club or something like that?
Yeah, the belly room. Yeah, I was like, where is Tom working this out? But he was on his jet. Like, I talked to his manager. He's like, Tom has been practicing so much. I mean, Tom Brady did. He didn't mess around. And Jeff was telling me that I have to be up at, I'd see Jeff at the Comedy Store. I got to be up at 6 a.m. because I got to meet up with Tom. Like, that's when he starts, man. This is a different thing.
Oh,
so
he would get, he'd get Jeff up at 6 in the morning?
Yeah, man.
That's a wake and bake for him. by the way, this is where Tom is now. I'll put it up on the screen. There
he's in
he is.
Venice, right?
Look at Tom in Venice.
Yeah. Good for him. He needs to get away. They haven't watched it yet, right? Over in Venice. So yeah,
he's
good on him.
Have.
Like that whole story of Giselle being disappointed and him having to apologize to her. Like I wonder what he knew or how what he thought we wouldn't say, because there was not a mandate of not to say something. But and I've said it before, we all kind of agreed, let's not go after the kid thing, the kissing thing or whatever, right. You know, let's not make jokes about that, which was such a bummer because I wrote so many jokes about it. It was such a bummer. But I understood
roast.
It because I the kids are not a part of it. And even the Giselle thing, I was like, she's not there. And even saying her name, I tried to say ex-wife as much as possible, not to put her name with things. But you can't say it for every joke. And so, you know, I just read like Giselle is disappointed. I go, yeah. Fair. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You're mm-hmm. right.
Yeah, right.
I'll eat that one. I am sorry.
Well, you know, again, it was a great night. I mean, when you hugged it out with him, yeah. What did he say to you?
He said, great job. Great really job. Great job. And then I ran into him. It was kind of blacked out at that point, but I remember getting a feeling that he wasn't like, there was no undertone of I'm mad, like upset or anything. It was really like, great job. Thank you. And then because he did, I heard, and maybe I was lied to, but he picked me. Like, I remember when I found out about the Tom Brady roast, it was announced before I got booked on it. And I was kind of done with roast because It had been 5 years since I'd done it. It was pre-COVID. I was younger. If you called me old, it wouldn't hurt my feelings. It just like, I just feel like I'm too sensitive now for it. And so I was like, if another one comes up, I probably won't do it. But then it's Tom Brady. And I was like, no, that's too big. I got to do it.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I'm glad you did, because it's one of the biggest pop. It's iconic. It's now part of the iconography of pop culture. It truly is. In terms of roasts, in terms of everything. There's the Hugh Hefner roast from back in the early aughts, when it was really important at the time for our country to start laughing again. And I kind of feel like, in the same way, obviously it's totally different circumstances, that we do need a certain laugh and a certain like being able to poke fun of one another in as much of a safe space as you possibly can. And somebody like Tom Brady saying, all right, I'll make myself the butt of jokes on live Netflix for 3 hours. It really was something that I couldn't believe I was personally witnessing.
Yeah.
And the building, the place was just electric, and you were awesome. And
thank you.
And you're finding out like Todd Bowles, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is a fan of yours, and I'm sure people
he hadn't even seen the roast yet. He was just like, I'm a fan of Nikki Glaser. I'm excited to watch her clip. And I'm like, wait, you didn't even see it? How are you a fan of mine? It was so nice.
We saw your mind blown emoji right there.
I really.
And he's not known for, you know, having an edge.
No, I ask all my male friends that obviously know of him. I'm like, what's his vibe? And they're like, this is not his vibe. Being a Nikki Glaser fan is not something we ever thought of Tom Bowles would be. But I'm so flattered, and I want to go to a game. Like, it's really nice to be in this new world. This sports world that I've always felt like intimidated by and that I didn't understand. And now in doing the research for the roast, and also honestly being a Swiftie and her dating Travis, I have to care about football and started paying attention and learning to like love it in this way that I never have. So it's so cool to have this moment.
Have you met Taylor Swift?
I met her before I was a huge fan. And okay. I'm staying away, though. I want her to want to meet me. I'm okay. Just going to keep my distance.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
I know you've met Trailer Swift. I know that.
Yeah, I called Jewel at one of the roasts Trailer Swift.
Trailer Swift.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Your new comedy special, Nikki Glaser, Someday You'll Die. Everybody check it out on HBO and Max tomorrow night at 10 Eastern time. And tomorrow night, when that debuts, you'll be on the stage at the Hollywood Palladium, part of this outstanding Netflix as a Joke festival. NikkiGlaser.com for tickets to your upcoming events. The Venetian next weekend in Las Vegas. Lake Tahoe the weekend after that. Salt Lake City in June. And, of course, there's the Nikki Glaser podcast, where all podcasts can be listened to and acquired. You're awesome.
You're
thanks for
awesome.
Coming
thank
up.
You so much for having me.
Anytime. I know you're not out here, you don't live out here, but anytime you're in town.
I'll be back. This was awesome.
Let's do it.
You're great.
I'm right back at you. That's Nikki Glaser, everybody. Follow her on Twitter and Instagram at that title as well. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. Back with more in a sec. We have a game that we play here called Start, Bench, Cut.
Okay.
Sort of like the You Know What, Marry, Kill game.
Yeah.
Okay. Where we
give keep
you,
it clean.
We try. Yeah.
Goodness.
Well, Start, Bench. Well, we make the
goodness
of the
Rich.
Of that, you know, the marry part is the bench part.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So we give you three. Here we go.
Start now.
Bench. Just sit down and be quiet.
Or cut.
Get up.
All right. Start, Bench, Cut here with Kevin Hart. Here are your three choices. Okay. To play basketball, have it as a teammate.
Okay.
The Rock, Cube, or Will Ferrell. You have to start one of them.
All right. Well, I'm going to start.
Bench one, or you've been in movies with all of these guys.
Yeah, I have. I'm going to start Will Ferrell.
You start Will Ferrell. Yeah, Jackie Moon gets to start.
Okay. Just because I know that he's got the passion behind the game.
Okay.
His spirit is always high. I'm going to cut The Rock. I'm going to cut him.
He's out? Wow.
He's out.
Why?
His attitude.
Oh.
His attitude. His attitude. I don't like his attitude.
And you're going to bench Cube? You're going to bring Cube off the bench?
I'm bringing Cube off the bench because Cube is too cool to play the whole game. So there's going to be moments where Cube look at his sneaks and be like, I just realized I'm messing these up. And I'm like, you're right, Cube. You can sit down for a second and get you a new pair of sneaks. You got to keep him calm, you know? You don't want him giving you, you like just getting upset. I got to make sure that tomorrow's going to be
he'll
a good
have
day.
Sunglasses on. It's too dark.
Yeah, he's going to be real cool.
Yeah.
And plus, it's a smart move here with Will's the tallest of them all. Nice inside-out game with you.
Yeah, me and Will are going to dominate. I got to start Will. But the Rock's out of here. He's cut. Bye.
Fantastic. All of it on our YouTube page, youtube.com/RichEisen Show, on all that good stuff. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. That was just absolutely delightful.
Yeah, that was great.
So
perfect.
The Pacers and the Knicks are just the, I guess, follow-up act to last night's Caitlin Clark home debut. I want to talk about making an impact. WNBA preseason games. Right, guys?
Yeah, right.
Have we ever seen national television talk about this across the board or anybody?
Any kind of attention to it whatsoever.
12 points in her home debut.
Yeah.
In Indianapolis.
Sold out,
for the Indiana Fever. Right?
And season starts in a week, right? Next weekend? Yes. Next week?
I believe she opens up in the state of Connecticut, right? First game is on the road for her, May 14th. Again, I don't recall ever knowing off the top of my head dates
when when the WNBA season starts.
Also, and this is the truth, and this is, I think it's also, you could put it on the board of all of women's college basketball being on a radar screen. And obviously, Caitlin Clark is the most well-known name nationally. But the South Carolina program, the LSU program, the UConn program, just to name three others, and the players on all of those teams. And, you know, LSU and South Carolina basically throwing down in a way that you don't see the men's game throwing down. And they are it gets nifty in these games, and it makes it more interesting to watch. Agreed. And the basketball is excellent too.
Fundamentally sound.
But within days of Caitlin Clark being drafted into the WNBA, Toronto gets they're expanding.
Yep.
Toronto gets a franchise, and for the first time, chartered flights.
Yeah.
$25 million a year it's going to cost the WNBA for chartered flights for all the teams.
I think once that video, I mean, so, Brittany Griner had some travel issues last
obviously.
Year.
That's one way to put it.
Well, no, I meant like,
but not for the WNBA.
But that wasn't bad. Not WNBA. Right.
No, when she came back, she was getting heckled and harassed at airports.
Yeah.
So
harassed
that was one thing.
Airport, yeah.
But I think it took that video of Caitlin walking through the airport with security to finally snapped the WNBA in the action.
Let's go.
It kind of, I don't know if it embarrassed them or whatever it was, it worked because now they're getting the charters. And Houston, who was a four-time WNBA women's champion, their team went away and now their owner's looking to bring another team back there. So,
right.
You know, expansion is coming along with Toronto. It's nice to see.
It is. So, you know, we'll be about it. We're going to pay attention to it. We'll talk about it more and we'll do our part. Mm-hmm. Because it is a part. It is a part.
Also, the WNBA League Pass is insanely affordable. It's $25 for the whole season.
Well, we're getting it.
And you
it.
Get to watch every single game.
We are getting it. Again,
so
my
that also helps.
For $25, it's like, come on.
My 10-year-old Hooper in the house, 1,000,000% we're doing that.
Now, are you jumping on the Sparks or are you hopping on the Fever bandwagon? Have you decided yet in your house?
Funny thing is about the Sparks, I was talking to my goddaughter the other day, and she's like talking to me about Cam Brink. Like, she knows Cameron Brink plays for the Sparks.
Is that because she heard from the Godfather constantly pounding the table about? Is she aware of how interested the Godfather wants to make an offer someone can't refuse?
I had nothing to do with it. She struck up a conversation with me.
Am I wrong?
I told you, I'm not really into, like, that's not my...
Boom!
You know that's not really
still roasting.
Yeah. Honestly,
roasting.
But no, I'm saying.
Like, I mean, we talk about a difference maker. How many times has T.J. Jefferson come in and said, "Well, I saw Caitlin Clark on McAfee's show. How about getting Cam Brink in here?"
Immediately from the next day.
Yeah.
The next day.
Well, I'm just saying we got to there's a race going on, guys. We got to keep up.
Sorry, arms race.
Oh, you're talking about broad. We're not in any race with Pat.
Arms race.
Not just Pat. Every show.
No.
We gotta keep,
come on, man.
Stay up on top. But no, I had nothing to do with it. She started this conversation. And so I'm just saying.
Well, I'm like, just saying, how did she hear about this particular player?
Her mom
player?
Told her.
Okay.
Yeah. Her mom somehow knows, met her, and then we
Who's her mom?
Her mom is her mom.
Do we know her mom?
Her mom is her mom. It. That's true.
Do we know her mom?
By the way, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Happy birthday.
Including Mila Kunis, who is also...
Is that who that is? Oh, wait a minute. So, wait a second. We're talking about Ashton's kid?
Yes, that is
Why
my
won't
goddaughter.
She say the names?
It does, because, Rich, it doesn't matter. It could be anyone in this particular point. I'm just telling
only
you.
Only one person admit.
Yeah, Cameron. But this makes it a little more relatable to the fan. Yeah.
That makes it unrelatable because... The point is, 9-year-old girls who never paid attention to basketball.
Very good point. Thank you.
There we go.
Which is our original point.
It's now
found the point.
Like, hey, do you know this person?
Yes.
And she played for them?
There you go.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
Come on.
And
these guys. I'm sorry.
And Dom
Cam,
TJ would like to, he's got the sparks.
See, that's why I'm not going to share the rest of the story with you.
Oh, no, why?
I guess we're adding the... Are we adding the Sparks pennant to TJ's graphic?
I think so.
I don't know yet.
You know what I mean?
I like players. I don't necessarily have a team
Interesting.
I still might roll with the Aces because they'd be winning.
They've won back-to-back titles. Yeah. The White House.
Josh Charles is about to join us in studio.
I need championship teams on my roster. As you know,
we're thin on
TJ's desperate
pennant race.
We're desperate for winners.
All you got is the Penguins.
That's all I got, bro.
Speaking of which, how many the Rangers haven't lost a playoff game yet? 7-0.
Again, in overtime.
To start their playoffs.
They say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
My hockey team don't make the playoffs. Two basketball teams can't even get to the second round. I just need some championships on that.
Rangers are overtime kings. Unfortunately for the Carolina Hurricanes, look at the game-winning goal.
Such a nice
redirect. Panarin is just an outstanding hockey player. And look at him going.
How did that go in?
Well, I mean, he went between his legs.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
Well, someone else shot it. He redirected.
Yeah, he redirected.
Well, you know
that's
why,
a redirect, sir.
You know why the Rangers are up 3-0, right? Because Monaco didn't take a picture with the cup. Had he done that, it would have been a whole different story. But
that's absurd. It had nothing to do with it. 0.0.
Monaco, well done. Well done.
So stupid. So dumb. The whole thing's stupid.
They might be down 0-3.
The whole thing's stupid.
You never know.
0.0.
Correct.
Heady play.
The hockey gods have no idea what Monaco's up to.
How can
None.
You say that? Do you know the hockey gods?
Yes, I do. I know them personally.
You know the hockey gods.
I know the hockey gods. And I'm happy to talk about who I know, unlike other people.
I know two people. He just says, if I tell a story, it's one of the two.
I am the godson of the hockey gods.
The Rangers are now the favorites.
They should be. They should have been to begin with.
No picture was taken.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.